Yeah, yeah. 'Tis I, Richard Dixon. Talk 99.5. Talk 99.5.com. Starting to cloud up. We may have a little bit of rain here in the not-too-distant future because of the weather pattern situation. You know how it works. It gets really hot. All of the moisture rises up. It gets into the... This is like third or fourth grade, science, right? And then the clouds get really heavy and they can't take it anymore and they unleash and rain down upon us all the moisture that they sucked up earlier. So also the same principle behind how a terrarium works when you have a piece of glass over the top of your terrarium and you have lights up there. It brings all the moisture to the top, and then when you turn the light off, the moisture falls back down. Again, same basic concept. Like I said, third grade. Everyone who had a lizard in class should know about that. Portions of today's show brought to you by Keller Williams. Monica Thatch is my girl. She does a fantastic job of finding you the house of your dreams, writing an offer that gets the attention of the people who own said house, and then getting you noticed and getting you into the house that you want to be in. In a tight housing market, it's not as tight as it was just a few months ago, but I'll tell you, it's still incredibly tight. And so getting in front of these people and getting them to pay attention to you is no small feat. You do not need to be dealing with some neophyte newbie under these circumstances. You need to be dealing with somebody who knows the scoop, knows their way, and that would be Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful. She'll also sell your house for top dollar as well. Do you know that the average house right now is experiencing 25% higher than it was a year ago? 25% higher. So if your house was worth $200,000 a year ago, it might be worth $250,000 right now. Think about that. Of course, in order to buy another house, you're going to have to use all that money and find. But that's what Monica's for. She knows what she's doing. Monica Thatch, Keller Williams Trustful, 229-1865. Make the call. Tell her you heard about it here. She loves to hear that. Dr. Andy Sokol is with us live and in person in the studio. What's up, brother?
You know, back to your third grade weather report.
Yeah.
And I think I've told you this story before. Do you remember when I told you that it rained inside the Aubie outfit?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were in the Auburn indoor swimming event arena. That was when we only had an indoor swimming arena.
Yep.
And, you know, Aubie's doing what he needs to do, and it creates a lot of heat inside that suit, and there's a lot of humidity inside the swimming arena.
Mm-hmm.
And just didn't pay attention, just doing what you got to do. And then we stepped out, and as soon as Aubie stepped out into some air condition, it all condensated, and it rained inside the suit.
Right down on top of you. Very nice. At least you got the water out of the suit, so Aubie didn't get waterlogged. Speaking of sports, how about this? Texas and Oklahoma formally asking to join the SEC. Wouldn't it be funny if we just looked at them and said, no. What? No. Why would we? I think you misunderstood. I think we just want to be friends. I don't know what you're talking about. But you get the distinct impression that all this stuff has been talked about before, that, you know, it's one of those like, if I was to ask to be a member of your conference, how do you think you'd respond? Well, I'm pretty sure that we could make that happen if that was something you really wanted, but, you know, there's steps you have to take first. So if we ask, then you'd be open to, right? That, you know, all of this has sort of been decided, and what they're doing right now is a little choreographed dance.
Right, and it kind of all floated out during SEC Media Week.
Sure.
And so that's, at first, I thought it was just a rumor. I thought maybe the media was hyping this up.
I heard it, and I was like, I just missed it out of hand. I'm like, that's never going to happen. Are you insane?
And so, and maybe they've talked them into making this inquiry, but I'm sure it's been something they've thought about. And my opinion, which you have not asked for, is this.
Yeah.
I said, I don't mind Oklahoma coming in. Why? Because, again, this is all dollars and cents.
Sure.
And for the SEC to go into the state of Oklahoma, which we're not, is going to increase our viewership, which is going to increase dollars and such like that. But we're already in Texas.
Yeah.
We have Texas A&M. And part of the reason Texas A&M left their conference and to come to the SEC is they wanted to get away from Texas.
Yes.
Texas was bullying them around. Well, they had the
You remember Texas when they did the network
Longhorn
there, they
network.
Wanted their own network.
You know,
that would be like the Crimson Tide going, we don't want to be a part of the SEC network. We should have our own our own Crimson Tide network,
right.
Which the rest of the SEC would have rebelled as well.
Right. Mike Slav knew better than
right.
that.
Right.
No.
Yeah, so they, and I understand. I was thinking exactly the same thing. But you know, we're in Texas in the way that if it were just Auburn, that people would be into Oklahoma. You are into Alabama. You add the University of Alabama to that, and you bring a lot more people to that party. And I think you'd be bringing a lot more people to the Texas party. And who knows? That was some time ago. Maybe it's all forgiven by now. I don't know.
And they're going to have to do something with that Longhorn Network, which is also owned by ESPN, which owns the SEC Network. Sure. So I'm sure they would work that out. And I do see what you're saying, of taking total dominance over the state of Texas, which is huge. Texas in Austin has like 43,000 students, where Texas A&M has 60,000 students. Mm-hmm. And the depths of their pocket, of their alumni, are endless.
Yep.
So, again, it comes down to dollars and cents.
A lot of oil money.
It comes down to dollars and cents. So I just hope that the powers that be make the best decision for the conference. Mm-hmm. I don't want to dilute our product. And I like when we play, I liked last year when we played only SEC teams.
I'd be interested to see if Texas A&M takes umbrage to this and says, well, then we're going to leave.
Well, here's the thing. They're tied with the SEC through 2030 something with the contract. So if they do leave, they'd have to forfeit all their TV money, which right now is 45, but they're saying if Texas A&M and Texas and Oklahoma are approved, it could go up to close to $70 million.
Whew.
They'll swallow their pride. I think they're trying to escape Texas, but in the long run, they'll have their old rival back. They'll be able to finish the season with them instead of LSU. And I think it'll be good for the SEC in multiple sports, not just football. Football's the big wheel. That
dominant,
the machine.
Let's face it. That's
But they're a pretty good basketball program. They're a pretty good baseball program. Oklahoma.
Swimming. Let's not forget about swimming there. I don't know how the swimming program is.
I mean, Oklahoma also has a good basketball program. So we're getting some other sports to help out with this. And Oklahoma will make the softball team, the softball competition of the SEC that much better because Oklahoma has a dominant softball program.
I wonder how, like, the players feel, though, because they're like, well, right now, you know, it's pretty much either Texas or Oklahoma who's going to take the Big 12. I mean, that's just a given. It's pretty much like it's going to be one, either OU or it's going to be Texas, going to take the Big 12, and it's usually whichever one wins the Red River rivalry game walks away with this thing. And now it's like, so now, wait, hold on, we have to play Alabama and we have to beat them in order to win the conference? Wait a minute now, hold on, guys.
That gets an interesting because Texas and Oklahoma, since they've gone to the Big 12 championship game with only 10 teams, they've played, I think, twice in the championship game with Oklahoma winning both. But if the SEC goes 16 and you divide geographically, you wouldn't have to play Alabama or Auburn if you're in the West until the championship game.
Until the championship game, exactly. So, and that is what they're talking about, Dr. Robbie, is they're talking about Texas and OU. And by the way, let's get this out of the way real quick, because they say, well, you know, in starting on July 1st, 2025, we'd like to join the Southeastern Conference. If that deal gets done and they go, yeah, absolutely. It's a little bit like if you walked into Caldwell Mill tomorrow and you said, I don't want to work here anymore starting July 1st of 2025. How awkward would it be that you're still showing up every day for 4 years after saying, I don't want to be a part of this organization anymore? They'd pretty much figure out a way to get rid of you sooner.
Sure.
Right? They'd be like, you know what? How about this? Just go. Just go now. We'll find somebody else to fill your spot. That's what we need to do. I'm inclined to believe that the Big 12 may very well say, why wait until 2025? We'll rearrange these contracts. You guys get out. And then the other teams, the other eight teams, are going to have to figure out what they're going to do. And how, because you can't really have an eight-team conference. That's pathetic.
Especially with the strength that they don't have losing their big guns.
Yeah. Well, I could definitely see some of the ones that are further north going into, you know.
Kansas and Iowa State headed to the Big Ten.
I think almost certainly that would make sense. And then, you know, get the Pac-12 picks some up. Is it Pac-10 or Pac-12?
Pac-12.
Pac-12. Pick some of these guys up. I don't know why. I'd always thought in the SEC if we were going to expand, Virginia Tech was always on my mind heavily because I really like that team. They seem to be simpatico with the SEC. It seems like a team that would really kind of fit right in. I had never once thought about Texas and OU being in the SEC. That it's taken me a minute to wrap my mind around that, I got to be honest.
And I keep thinking geographically. I'm thinking, all right, if we're going to add SEC teams, I'm looking at the country and looking at the bottom right-hand side.
Exactly.
And said, all right, let's see.
How about Florida State, you know?
Well, yeah. But also, again, back to Mike Slav, he went into states that we did not have teams.
That's right.
And to increase viewership. And that's why I said I don't dislike the idea of Oklahoma. Texas, we're already in.
Yeah.
So maybe take Oklahoma and then come over there and take Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
And tell Texas.
But imagine this.
Yeah.
If you're ESPN, who just signed the exclusive deal with the SEC.
Yep.
Your 11 a.m. kickoff, the Red River rivalry. It's easy for me to say. Your 2:30 game, Alabama versus Tennessee, and then your nightcap, Florida versus Georgia. That just gives you such a powerful day-long football.
Yeah, people would be parked in front of that TV all day, including Dr. Andy. Come on, Tennessee! I like it. Look, like I said, it'll take me a minute to wrap my mind around it. I've always liked OU, by the way. I lived there for a while, so I was definitely supportive of the Oklahoma team. I just, the Sooners, I remember when I lived there and I would look at the rankings week in and week out, and I'd be like, who is this Auburn team that's above OU? Like, who is this? Auburn, Michigan? Is this Auburn, New York? I had no idea.
Sure, no doubt.
Until athletics, I got here.
Athletics put Auburn on the map.
Yeah.
People know at least we're in the Southeastern Conference. They still think we're in Georgia.
Yeah.
But you think of Penn State. I would have never heard of Penn State if it wasn't for their athletics.
No. Well, possibly the pedophilia scandal. Other than that.
But, you know, you can think of Villanova or Georgetown. You know, all these basketball schools I would never heard of.
So they are talking about the possibility then of putting OU and Texas in the West, moving both Auburn and Alabama to the East, where then our teams would be facing off against what's in the East right now, a.k.a. Georgia and Florida and Kentucky and
South Carolina.
Vanderbilt. Seems like a little easier road, right? A little easier road. The toughest team in that district that is going to be
Georgia.
Is, you know, Alabama. Right. Auburn has to play Alabama still.
But Auburn's traditional rivals are mostly in the East, Georgia and Florida.
That's
so they
true.
Could get a return to Amen Corner.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool. That would be kind of cool.
I hate losing the LSU game because that's always been exciting in the last two decades.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the LSU fans.
I like the rival.
Oh, it's great rivalry. Yeah. Something weird always happens during that game. Well, that could be one of the ones we play across the conference. 2:13, how about we take a break here? We will hurry back. It's Richard Dixon, Talk the 95, talkthe95.com, along with Dr. Andy Sokol. Well, it beats the hell out of bro country, you know. It's a catchy little tune, isn't it?
That was chosen by me.
Oh, by you?
Yep.
Well, congratulations.
I like that.
I like it. It's a good
song. Luke Bryan.
Yeah. That's actually a better song than I think people give it credit for. 219 Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. Stead, Denson, and Fuller, my insurance agents, the guys you need to call if you are with one of those big behemoth companies that is soaking you. You don't even know if you got the right coverage, if you have everything you need coverage. Stead, Denson, and Fuller will be more than happy to take a look at it and see, you know, where are you covered, where are you not covered, and can they beat the price? And the answer is they probably can't. Don't even tell them what you're paying. Just kind of send them over, here's what I got, and here's what I'm looking for. And then they can say, well, you need this and this and this too, but you don't need these other things. And so, yeah, and they'll give you a price that you're going to fall in love with. Given the fact that they're local and their service is unbelievably good, you really ought to make the switch. But start with a phone call, 414-1476, 414-1476, Stead, Denson, and Fuller on Crescent Avenue in Homewood, or steadandfuller.com on the World Wide Web. Here is Steve West with a traffic report live from his cell phone. What's up, Steve-O?
Oh, County Highway 11 in Pelham. If you're going from 280 towards I-65 trying to get into Pelham or Alabaster, don't take Highway 11 because it's at a dead standstill.
And we have no idea why?
No, I was not able to make it up that far because I got to be at work at 3, which means now I got to go take the alternate route, which puts me on Highway 280, which probably is not that much better.
Not significantly better at this time of day, but God bless you. Thank you for the heads up, so now we can save other people the trouble, right?
Exactly.
That's what we're hoping for. Thank you, my friend. Good luck at work. Steve just underwent some major heart surgery here recently, and he's back at work. this week, which is good.
And I'm sure this traffic is testing out his new ticker.
It really
work.
Is. It's kind of like, let's see how, yeah, let's see if he can take it,
stay
see
calm,
if he can handle it.
Calm.
Let's see. I got so many stories here that we need to address that I haven't looked at as of yet. Oh, I love this one. The ACLU is defending a New Jersey woman who was being fined for her anti-Biden signs that she hung off of her fence. But she's not being fined because they are anti-Biden. She's being fined because they involve the F word in some cases. F Biden, Biden sucks, socialism sucks, Biden blows. Don't blame me, I voted for Trump. But the three of them in particular that include the F bomb. And so a judge said, yeah, according to the rules of your area, you can't put that up. Well, the ACLU came in and said, well, that shouldn't apply to political signs. The woman is a block away from an elementary school. A block away. Kids are like, I practiced my reading today, Mommy. What word did you learn? Well, it starts with an F. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. Thanks. Yeah, yikes.
You know, I see her point, but, you know, put the right signs up.
Yeah.
You can say, I don't support, hey, you know, but, sure. you know, take the bad words yeah, down.
Take the curse words
you'll
down.
Have, you'll keep your principle on focus
yeah.
if you just stay away from that type of language.
I still think it's silly that we set aside some words in the English language. Go, now nobody can say these. These are special words. It's stupid, but it's happening. And so as long as it's happening and that's the social mores, then you don't need to put signs up like that.
Hey, those are the same words we're not allowed to say on this radio station,
that's true.
Right?
You notice I am not saying them. Hence the F Biden. I love this story. I adore this story. I am crazy about this story. This happened in Fort Worth, Texas. Guy was at a backyard barbecue-type party, okay? And he gets into a heated discussion with a couple of people, and he storms off. And then he comes back later, and he starts talking to those people again, and he gets all bent out of shape, and he pulls out a gun and opens fire on a group of partygoers. In the early hours of Monday morning, he killed one. He injured at least three others. The crowd, rather than dispersing and running away, did what? They chased him down. They started picking up landscaping and gardening stones and flinging them at this guy, hitting him and knocking him down. And eventually he was, are you ready for this? Stoned to death. That's what we call biblical justice, my friend. Biblical justice. A small gathering was taking place in the backyard of a residence, et cetera, et cetera. The other attendees of the party gave chase. On the shooter turned and fired at other people. A group picked up some concrete landscaping bricks and started throwing them at the shooter. Investigators said the group eventually overwhelmed the suspect as he fell to the ground. Victim was pronounced dead at the scene, and another victim was transported to an area hospital with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. The shooter was struck multiple times with at least one landscaping brick and was pronounced dead at the scene.
Was his name Stephen?
I don't believe it was Stephen.
That's pretty good that I know that.
I can tell you this, though. Nobody is going to get stoned by anybody, even, and get this, even if they do say, Jehovah. yeah, I mean, that justice was meted out with swift severity. First news. Wow, let me tell you. Still get chills hearing that. My friend Jim Fife, such a great guy. I mean, Rod Bramlett, excuse me, such a great guy. They're both. I knew both of them, and they were both phenomenal individuals. What an amazing call that was. Sends shivers up my spine every time I hear it. I remember watching it. I did not hear the call on the radio until later when it was being replayed, of course. But I was watching it, and it was Gary Danielson was doing color. And I'll never forget at one point. I don't remember. Was it, remember the fat guy that used to work with Danielson? What was his name?
Vern Lundquist.
Vern Lundquist. I don't remember if it was Vern. I think it was. because he was still working with him at the time. He had not yet retired. And he's like, well, I don't think anyone's going to stop him. And Danielson says, no, there's nothing but fat guys out there. And I just laughed. And I was watching it with my friend Jim Hamlin. He had brought over his flat screen TV. We set it up on the coffee table and pushed it back because he had a bigger TV. I had a huge TV, but it was a cathode ray TV. So we were watching it on a nice big flat screen. And mind-blowing, especially since 1 week earlier, 2 weeks earlier, we had had that tipped pass
right.
with Georgia. It was at Auburn, and it ended up falling out of the hands of the receiver. And, you know, the thing that gets lost in all of that is you got to give props to Gus Malzahn for having put a receiver back there.
Sure.
I mean, he said, there's a chance this thing doesn't make it, and if it doesn't, I want you to receive. And I've got a signed picture of Chris Davis on my wall after that run. It's an amazing, amazing thing.
Yeah. You know, and when they interviewed Gus and Coach Malzahn and Chris Davis and Auburn people, Auburn players about that, he dedicated a practice for scenarios.
Yeah.
If this happens, this is what we do. And this was one of the scenarios is if this happens, and that's why he started off running to the
right
to set up the blockers for a wedge right. to go to the left.
And then he hooked a hard left and went an end around.
And they had prepared for that. Yeah. Because if it was me, I would have just gotten back there and run and prayed.
Yeah, really, me too.
But they had
somebody open a hole, but no.
But they had a plan for that.
Talk about preparing for any eventuality.
And yet you still couldn't stick the landing to win the national championship.
Oh, God,
all
no.
All those great
got
moments.
Waxed by Georgia later. I mean, just absolutely.
No. That was 2017 when he got waxed by Georgia. This was you beat
Florida
Missouri,
State.
And then you were up 21, it, on Florida State?
Oh, yeah.
And then when they found out you were cheating by stealing their play calls that Damian Gregg was doing, and they stopped doing that, you couldn't figure out what they were doing, and they ended up coming back on you?
Here's what I remember. I remember being really furious with Ontario McCaleb because he took the ball into the end zone. And it was like a minute.
Was it Trey Mason? Correction.
It was Trey Mason.
Yeah.
I was just like,
go down,
what
go
are you
down,
doing? There's
down.
A minute. Just take a knee. Just take a knee right there.
I know.
Yeah, give us three tries, four tries, whatever.
Yeah.
You're going to give Jameis Winston, the Heisman Trophy winner, the football back with more than a minute on the clock.
Yep.
We're going to lose this game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what happened.
Yep.
I was furious.
Me
but
too.
He almost ran back the kickoff for a touchdown.
That would have
been amazing. They had another kickoff
would
back
have
for a touchdown.
Would have been. Didn't happen. Joe is on a cell phone with a traffic report. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Richard. Actually, I'm female, but that's okay. Many people make the mistake.
It's Joe. I didn't say he or anything. I did not presume your sex in any way, shape, or form.
I'm sorry.
It's quite all right.
I heard you say he.
No, not at all.
I apologize.
It's spelled just J-O, which usually means it's a chick. That's what I see. When I see J-O, I go, well, there's a female.
Thank you, sir. Regardless, the accident on Highway 11 is down at Kelly Drive, which is close to Highway 52. It occurred shortly before 2 o'clock.
Oh.
The police have said that they will post on Facebook as soon as it's cleared, and they have not. So obviously, it's going to be a while.
I know where that is. Yes, it is going to be a while. God bless. Thank you for the heads up on that. It's down by 52. So if you can get off of Highway 11, do so. And if you don't have to get on, avoid it like the plague. We say that, but we don't avoid the plague very well at all, do we? We just all kind of fell for it, didn't we?
We wear masks.
Right. Thank you, Joe, the girl.
Goodbye, Richard.
Have a lovely day. There you go. 236, Talk 995, Talk995.com. Jobless Americans are suing the state of Florida for ending the $300 unemployment benefits early.
Mm-hmm. They're suing them.
Suing. In a complaint filed late Sunday on behalf of 10 unemployed Floridians, three attorneys, Gotcha Kitchen, Marie Maddox, and Scott Bahren, argued that DeSantis, as well as the Florida Department of Economic Opportunity, its director, Dane Eagle, violated their clear legal and statutory duty to secure such benefits for employees by prematurely ending the benefits. The attorneys are requesting an emergency injunction to force Florida to reinstate the $300 a week benefit until the case is decided, as well as provide 4 weeks of retroactive benefits.
I got a great idea.
Yeah.
The judge takes all 10 of those people and goes and helps them apply for a job. Ta-da! Problem solved.
That does sound like a good idea, but here's the sad state of affairs. Unemployed residents in Indiana, Texas, and Maryland also filed lawsuits against their respective states for the early termination of the program. State judges in Indiana and Maryland ruled the states must continue paying out the money to its jobless residents. Not the case in Texas, of course. So I'll be interested to see how this goes. A lot of it does come down to which judge it gets in front of, and I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up going up to the federal level and getting in front of a federal appeals court of some kind, and eventually they go like, yeah, no, the state has that power. They can do that if they want to. Because I don't see any constitutional reason why they couldn't. It seems almost arbitrary that a judge would say, you have to keep paying that money. No, we don't.
No.
Yeah.
Before the pandemic, you had a job.
Right.
Okay. Pandemic cost you your job. Pandemic is under control.
Yeah.
And jobs are opening up. You know what? We erase that help.
Yeah, we're done with that. And it certainly has helped. Like I noticed everywhere I go, there was a time when everywhere I went had a help wanted sign.
Sure.
And sometimes it would list exactly what was needed and who was needed. I'm not seeing that everywhere. I'm still seeing it a few places, but it's nowhere near as widespread as it once was.
Still going into restaurants, seeing half of it with the tables not occupied.
Yeah.
And there's a wait. Why is that? They don't have servers.
That is true.
You know, in a Caldwell Mill Animal Clinic, we're looking for kennel help. We're looking for bathers. We're looking for that employee.
Well, there you go. If you're looking for a job, then Dr. Andy may have one for you. 545-9950. Big stupid question of the day. Struggle you have overcome. A struggle you have overcome. And of course, Dr. Andy Sokol is with Caldwell Mill Animal Clinic. He is Birmingham's most eligible veterinarian. So you should call in if you have any questions about your animals outside of does that Dynavite stuff really work? Okay. What's the biggest struggle you overcame, Doctor?
You know,
aside from being short and Jewish. I kid.
I haven't overcome either one of those. But you know, Richard, I love your show. I love your big stupid question of the day. I appreciate you inviting me in once a week. But this has got to be one of the depressing questions you've ever asked.
I don't know why, because you're overcoming it. Overcame the struggle. That's what you want, right?
True. Okay. But you look at your Facebook answers, and they're tough things. There's cancers. There's car wrecks. There's illnesses. And there's death. So when I was thinking about this, you know, I was 20 years old when my dad passed away, and he was just 52. And granted, I'm past 52. That's something that goes through my head. But it's taken me a lifetime, and I'm not sure I've ever overcome it. I've had to deal with it and make adjustments. But if my dad were here, I would probably made a lot different decisions in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And
like not burying him, that would have been a big one.
But you know, those are the things that when this question came out, what have I overcome? And there was a tragic part or sad part of my life. And that's it. And I'm had to deal with it. My mother's had to deal with it. My sisters have had to deal with it. And it's been well over, I think, 30 years. It was 1989. And I think God had a reason for it. And I've had to deal with that. And I think, and at first I was angry with God, but then I understood it. I understood what he was putting me through. And I think God figured out my dad was better off in my life from heaven than on this earth.
See?
And I've overcome it.
There you go. You overcame it. That's a good story. It's a happy ending.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yeah, but and that's what you were looking for, is the happy ending.
Every Disney character has at least one parent die on them, Dr. Andy. Don't you want to be a Disney character? Come on.
Mufasa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's 2:42. How about we take a break? We'll hurry back, wrap this thing up. Dr. Andy Sokol is hanging with us. TalkThen95, TalkThen95.com. I'm celebrating because Mr. Bugs is coming to my house tomorrow morning to do my termite bond. I'm very excited about it. They've been my pest control company for better than 2 years now, and they do such a great job for me. Plus, they've recently started mosquito reduction, which is a real joy. I can enjoy the great outdoors now as a result of not being eaten alive by them pesky bugs. And now they're going to handle my termite bond as well. The company was, I guess they were okay. But I know Mr. Bugs, and I trust Mr. Bugs, and I love Mr. Bugs, and I know they're going to do a great job for me. And you will experience that same know and love and trust once you call them at 900-3433 and have them come by. Their techs are fantastic, always on top of the situation. They know just what to use and where to use it to make sure that the bugs inside are dead and stay dead, and the bugs on the outside stay outside. The price is A-OK as well. The price is just right. That is Mr. Buggs, MRBUGGS.com. Statewide at 844-MRBUGGS. 844-MR-BUGGS. They know what bugs you. It is 247. I'm hanging with Dr. Andy Sokol. We do have the Olympics going on right now. I'm not paying that much attention. You are.
Yep.
But Simone Biles pulling out of the group gymnastics last night. One of the things, and I haven't mentioned this as of yet, but one of the things that really chapped me early on was when the International Gymnasts Association, the IGA, decided that Simone should be graded differently. They're ratioing her scores because she's got four tricks named after her, okay? Four moves that she invented, basically. And she does stuff that no other gymnast has been able to do.
They call that difficulty. Yeah.
You know what I call that? I call that the best in the world.
Right.
She's doing things that no one else can do. Okay, you're the best in the world. That's just the way it is. Instead, they say, well, we're not going to give you difficulty ratings on these things because we don't want other people emulating that. And I look at it and say, well, that would be like saying, I'm sorry, Usain Bolt, you're so much faster than everyone else. We're going to shave 2 seconds off your time before we even start the race. That's bull, man. That's bull. If you're the best, you should get graded on along the same lines as everybody else. And, you know, these other people that can't do those tricks. You know why? Because she's the best. That's why. So she should automatically win and get the gold, and everyone can shut up. But that's not what they decided.
Huh. That can go along with a lot of the reasons why she's pulled out and why she may not have had the best showing two nights ago.
Yeah.
Because
she could be frustrated.
Athletes, it's a mental. You have to be on top of your game physically as well as mentally when you perform.
Yeah.
And she may not have, because that may have been weighing her down. And if you recall what they said, she's pulled out because of mental issues or you know.
We've heard both mental and medical, but I think they're kind of using those terms interchangeably. Far be it from me to judge her.
Nope.
I don't know what the girl is going through. I do know that she's being treated unfairly when it comes to the scoring. And I heard that immediately, like when they announced it, and I just thought, well, you've lost me again, Olympics. You just keep giving me reasons to not watch. Good job. Well done. I just find it very frustrating.
Well, I hate it because she's a great girl. I've heard her interviews. They told her story on NBC and how she's the oldest on the group and such like that. And she just seems like a lady of great character, and mm-hmm. she's got integrity. And she does have the weight on her shoulder because she walks in as the defending gold. She's the favorite, and that, there's a lot of pressure on that. But if they're not judging her like everybody else, like you said, Usain Bolt, hey, sure. you're going to shave 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, I'm still going to watch the Olympics because we've got a lot of Auburn athletes on there, and we got an Auburn athlete on the gymnastics. Mm-hmm. She's a future incoming Auburn freshman that's going to be on the Auburn gymnastics team. So I'm pulling for her, but I would have liked to see Simone, you know, mm-hmm. stay in there and compete because
she is only out of the group, which is done, by the way.
Right.
She's still going to compete, I guess, individually. So you will be able to see her. She hasn't pulled out of the Olympics entirely.
She didn't want to pull the team down.
I don't know if that's the case or not. I really don't know. I just think that whatever they're doing, they have done it wrong. They have absolutely done it wrong. So we'll see where we go from here. Right now it is EC in Hueytown with thoughts on unemployment. EC, you're on Talk 99.5. What's going on?
Hey, Richard. Good afternoon, you and Dr. Andy.
Right back at
you. Talking about unemployment a while ago, signs and what have you. I happened to went by Bucky's the other day, and they got signs posted everywhere, and they start out for what they call an associate, for like $15 to $18 an hour. So I figure that's a floor sweeper, stop boy, what have you. Then you got your food handlers, processors, whatever. It goes up from there, and it finally goes up. There's another one, a manager department or something. There's a team leader. They pay up to $32 an hour, I believe. So,
and paid vacation. There, you know, they're big on their paid vacation as well. So this could be a whole new career for you, EC. I just want to suggest that you go next time you're there.
Retired, Richard.
All
I got to worry about is briskets. And by the way, Richard, they got a brand new chicken sandwich somebody told me about the other day, and I'm going to try it out. I'll let you know how it goes.
I can hardly wait. Waiting with bated breath.
Good one.
Thank you, EC. It's true. Bucky's pays well.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen other places that give you a signing bonus.
Yeah.
And it may be something like a fast food restaurant. And one restaurant or place said, hey, it was Lowe's, we'll interview you right now.
Yeah.
You don't have to go home and get all dressed up. Come in.
Again, this is the free market economy working. When workers are scarce, they have to be paid more. It's just that simple.
Yep.
And so you pay them more. That's how the free market works. If you need people and they're not willing to work for what you're paying, guess what? You're going to have to pay more, and so you do.
And then that trickles down to us, the consumer, having to pay more for the product or the service.
I definitely feel under Joe Biden's economy like I'm being trickled on. I definitely get that sensation. Pizza Hut has launched a new 10-meat decathlon pizza in Japan. This is another one of those, wait, Pizza Hut, United States of America, fattest country in the world, you're not even going to show us some love here? But they say it's got 10 meats on it. They're celebrating, of course, the Olympics. King of meat-based pizza. So listen to these meats that they claim there's 10 of. Are you ready? Bacon, Iberico sliced bacon, aged bacon, right? Charcoal grilled beef ribs, a beef bulgogi, teriyaki chicken, pulled pork, pepperoni, rough sliced sausage, and Italian sausage. Hold on, you got three kinds of bacon and two kinds of sausage on there. You don't have 10 meats. Stop lying about
They're
this.
Different types of bacon
it's
and
not,
sausage.
No, it's not the same. No, you put some shrimp on that thing. You give me that. How about some chicken? There's no chicken on there.
Well, different animals. Chicken, that's what I was thinking of.
Yes, different animals.
I mean, you could have turkey bacon.
Rattlesnake. You could put rattlesnake on there. That's what
China.
I like to see.
China's going to have the rattlesnake and the scorpions.
Bat.
And
the They're going to have bat. The bats. They're going to have the bat-flavored pizza, most likely, is what's going to happen.
Walk in the door and you're talking about sausage.
What does that mean? It's a big sausage party in here? Is that what you're saying?
Sausage party. What's going on? I was thinking hide the sausage joke somewhere.
Look who's back from his travails across the country, ladies and gentlemen.
He's going to come in and get us kicked off our show, not his show.
I watched your little video last night, and I'm not trying to trivialize your little video.
Stop now, because I made one about your hat. It was much better.
I did love the hat video. Obviously, you saw Mount Rushmore. It's hard to believe that was just naturally carved like that, isn't it?
It just happened, yeah.
And then Black Hills of South Dakota. Anywhere else? You're going to tell
Crazy
us
Horse, man.
Oh, Crazy.
Yeah, I didn't even take a picture of Crazy Horse. I was so mesmerized by it.
Oh, it is a stunt.
I forgot to take a picture. I was so mesmerized.
I have been going to Crazy Horse since I was probably 4 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And it finally looks like, they're making progress. Because for the first, 30 years of my life, I'm like, it looks exactly the same.
Because they're like, screw the government, we'll do it ourselves.
It's a mountain, the love of God. It's a mountain that they're
carving. I saw everything out there.
Leland Live comes your way next with Travels and Travails, whatever. Dr. Andy is out of here. I'm out of here. Back tomorrow at noon. Talk at you. Then Richard Dixon. Yeah. Bye now.